Agricultural programs are made possible by Leonard Seed Service, an independent dealer providing DeKalb and Asgrow seed products, including Genuity SmartStax corn hybrids. Leonard Seed Service provides information and services to help customers in East Central Illinois maximize profits. Leonard Seed Service, 217-497-2270.
From the Land-Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, welcome to this holiday special edition of Illinois Public Media's Closing Market Report for November 27th, 2009. This is Dave Dickey. During this half hour, we'll talk to some of the top farm realtors in the nation in an extensive, wide-ranging conversation about land values, cash rent inflation, and interest rates. And meteorologist Steve Hilberg will update us on the weather trends for the Corn Belt and his expectations over the next week. It's all on this special Friday holiday edition of the Closing Market Report.
Agricultural programs are made possible by Risk Management Commodities Incorporated in Lafayette, Indiana, Chalmers, Indiana, and Hudsonville, Illinois. Risk Management Commodities focuses on managing risk in today's complex and sophisticated commodities market. 866-837-9027.
I'm Todd Gleason from University of Illinois Extension with an update on the winter meeting dates. The specialist here on campus will kick off the season Tuesday, December the 1st, debuting the Ag Masters Conference. The two-day event is set for the iHotel, that's just south of the Assembly Hall here in Champaign. The premier event will shortly take its place, I know, in a long legacy of University of Illinois crop production and protection programs that spans more than 60 years. It is an event targeted to those interested in making the most of the latest agricultural research and information. Continuing education units are available, including certified crop advisor credits and Indiana continuing certification hours. Registration and program information on the 2009 December 1 and 2 Ag Masters Conference is available online. Just search Google for Ag Masters, all one word.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Farm Credit Services of Illinois. Farm Credit Services of Illinois has been providing for farmers' credit and insurance needs for over 90 years, including real estate, operating and machinery loans, crop and life insurance protection, and programs for young and beginning farmers.
In the news, travel and auto group AAA says that Americans will travel 1.4% more this Thanksgiving holiday weekend than they did last year. The increase reflects a 2.1% increase in travel by car and a 6.7% decrease in air travel. Last year, Thanksgiving travel in the world's top oil consumer plummeted 25.2% due to the housing and financial crisis. For the third year in a row, the cost of a traditional Thanksgiving dinner has decreased for Hoosiers. That, according to an informal statewide survey of grocery store prices coordinated by the Indiana Farm Bureau. Indiana Farm Bureau's annual survey of local prices for basic food items found this Thanksgiving weekend that the dinner table showed an average cost for 10 is $43.93, down $1.64 from last year's average of $45.57 and $3.27 from 2007's average of $47.63. A nationwide survey conducted by the American Farm Bureau Federation showed an average total cost of $42.92, a $1.70 decrease from a year ago. Nationally, more than 200 shoppers in 35 states participated. And that's a quick look at the news. Midwest land values continued to soften in the first half of 2009. In August, the Federal Reserve Bank of Chicago reported that the price of good quality cropland in several leading farm states was 3% lower on July 1st than it was a year earlier. Farmland values in Iowa and Michigan lost 5%, Illinois and Wisconsin fell 2%, while Indiana values were up slightly from a year ago. Since then, farmland values have stabilized. At the recent National Association of Farm Broadcasting meetings in Kansas City, I took up land issues with Jim Farrow, president and CEO of Farmers National Company in Omaha, Nebraska, Murray Wise, chairman and CEO of the Westchester Group in Champaign, Illinois, and Doug Stark, president and CEO of Farm Credit Services of America.
Well, Dave, as we look ahead to 2010 land values, right now we see a pretty strong market. There's nothing that's going to indicate that the market will drop substantially going into 2010. The commodity prices have stabilized some with this wet harvest that we've had. Commodity prices are obviously one of the big drivers. The economy is another driver. The thing that's been holding the land market steady and increasing the land market recently is fewer land listings. There's not very many people willing to sell right now. We've got a lot of people wanting to buy. We don't see that demand tapering off, at least not right now. So I would say we should see steady to strong land values going into 2010, at least what we see right now.
Murray, what are your expectations for farmland values in 2010?
In 2010, Dave, I don't see a lot of change in farmland values, quite frankly. It's interesting to read a lot of the headlines, particularly in the print media, that we see at the moment where Federal Reserve has put out a lot of releases saying, depending upon the district, farmland values down 2%, 4%, 5% in various districts over a six-month period of time. But what people aren't thinking about and appreciating enough is farmland values went up double digits for a 7 or 8 year period of time. But I look at status quo land values as we look into 2010. I don't see any great movement upward. I don't frankly see any great movement downward, particularly downward. Dave, from Westchester's point of view, you got to look at it from the perspective that in all the years that we've been in business, and given our asset management side, the institutional side, the pension side, Mr. and Mrs. Working America, we have over $100 million of committed unplaced capital today where we can't find the high-quality Illinois, Indiana farm to buy with that capital. And that's the number one barrier from Westchester's point of view in doing business today is there's not a lot of land on the market. I don't see a lot of land coming to the market. Think about it for a second, Dave. Mr. and Mrs. Retiring Farmer, okay, they're going to sell a really good high-quality Piatt County half section for whatever value. What are they going to do with that money? Take it to a local bank and put it on deposit for 0.4% in the money market account? Or are they going to put it at risk in the stock market? No, they're not going to do that, Dave. And I think there's a lack of, you know, other alternative today, plus the fact inflation is a potential hazard as we look down the long-term highway. And with that in mind, there's just not a lot of land that's going to trade hands in Illinois and Indiana in the next 3 years, in my opinion.
Well, we probably have an outlook that's going to, we think it's going to be probably flatter to maybe even some slight decrease. And our basis behind that is the fact that farmers are really, right now, are pretty cautious. We're still getting the crop out, certainly, for this year. But going into 2010, they're cautious. We also think there's going to be pressure on margins next year, which will dampen some enthusiasm for continuing to bid up land values above current levels.
The farmers' caution comes from where?
We just think a lot of the volatility we've seen in the market, with extreme high prices in the grain side of things, to the tremendous liquidity drain that we've seen in swine and dairy operations. We think farmers are going to, first of all, those segments will be recovering and building their balance sheets, and the others will be tending to the volatility and the issues they're seeing with profitability.
We did have a dip in the first half of 2009 in prices. It's stabilized more or less at that point. Are you seeing regional differences in prices now forward for 2010? And if so, what are some of the variables that you anticipate those regional price differences to revolve around?
There are some regional price differences, and it's interesting to watch. Some of the very heavy livestock areas are not quite as aggressive in the buying, so the land market isn't quite as strong in those areas. The livestock market has been hurt. Livestock producers, I should say, have been hurt over the last probably 3 years with the high prices of grains, and profits have been down. Other regional differences that we're seeing are more in the dry areas. If you go down into Kansas, western Nebraska, areas where we have been under drought for quite a few years, where this year was almost a breakout year away from drought, we have seen the market not back off in those areas. That market stayed strong all through 2009. It didn't back off in that first quarter in those areas because the market had not accelerated as rapidly in those areas as it had going east into eastern Nebraska, Iowa, Illinois, Indiana, and Ohio.
There is a phenomenal appetite, Dave, out here today for quality. Everybody, they don't want to buy a marginal farm. They want to buy a quality farm. They don't want, you know, 40 acres of pasture over in the corner, or at least most people don't. They want to own a quality piece of Midwestern farmland. And there's more and more emphasis every day that I'm going to go as an investor and buy myself a quality quarter section somewhere. I don't want a marginal farm. I want a high producing farm. I want a farm that's easily farmed, because I've reached the realization that machinery, despite the fact I think it can't get any bigger, it probably will get bigger. And the efficiency of being able to farm it without a lot of point rows and a good square, rectangular, whatever the case may be, high-quality Midwestern farm has some real dramatic appeal to it today.
Do you expect there to be continued regional variance in farmland prices next year?
Well, certainly the answer to that would be yes. We've seen that to be the case. There's a lot of different drivers of the respective markets, including non-agricultural investment, housing needs, development, those kind of things. Pure agriculture production is another one of that. So, yeah, there's so many variables in the marketplace regionally that they're going to drive different valuations.
To what degree will outside non-farm investors drive the land market next year?
We saw the outside market kind of dry up in the fall of 2008. The land investors quit buying, and they came back into the market in June of 2009. So we've got strong investor interest right now. Even though 75% of the farms, we sold 750 units in 2008. 75% of that went to operating farmers. And there's two types of investors, Dave, that I would outline from our perspective. You've got the non-operating owner, who we manage farms for. They are folks who grew up in the area, maybe inherited the farm, and they want to add on another farm in the neighborhood. Maybe somebody in the family owned it. Maybe they just want to have another farm in the area because they like farmland. They understand it. And we've got that non-traditional investor, maybe a pension fund or just a group of investors that think that farmland looks like a good asset class and they want to be in it. They don't know anything about ag, but they're out there looking to buy. Generally, those folks didn't buy a lot. Here in the last 2 or 3 years, they've been much more active and much more progressive in trying to get things bought. They see land as a hedge against inflation. They see it as a strong place to put their money. They see it as an asset class that has outperformed the stock market over the last 15 years, quite handily, actually, if you sit and take a look at how it's performed compared to the stock market. And they're looking at it as a diversification tool. So in answer to your question, I think we will continue to see investor interest in farmland play a factor in land values going into 2010, but I don't think we're going to see it go back to the levels we saw it in 2006, where we saw as much as 50% of the land market land transactions were being affected by investors, primarily with 1031 tax-deferred exchange money. I don't see that coming into the market in 2010.
Outside investors are we all like to talk about them. The coffee shop rattles well with that. Oh, you know, did you hear that an investor came in from New York and bought that half section? That's a very, very small percentage of the Midwestern marketplace today. We all like to talk about it, but Dave, 60, 70, 75%, 80% in some cases of the farm transactions today are the neighboring farmer. I mean, they got a lot of cash in their pocket. The debt-to-asset ratio is the lowest it's been in as long as I've been involved in agriculture. If you look at most Midwestern states, 75% of the land has no note or mortgage associated with the land. And with those kind of really, really conservative backdrops, if you will, again, the neighboring farmer, if he wants to buy that 80 that comes up for sale at a joins them or is just down the road, he's going to buy it, and he's going to pay more money for it than the investor in many cases.
What are your anticipations for cash rent during the 2010-2011 growing season?
At the moment, what we're seeing on cash rents, and we manage quite a few farms, and the farms that we manage, if your cash rent is at market, and there's a lot of variation in cash rent today, you can have two farms side by side, and we see it every day. There could be $100 an acre difference between those two farms, and the difference is whether or not one landowner has been paying attention to the market while the other one has. So depending on if your land rent is at market, you know, what the standard market is in the area, we're anticipating flat cash rents for 2010. However, if your land cash rent is below market, we think there's still some appreciation there.
6-8 weeks ago, I would have suggested to you, Dave, that cash rents might be off 5-10% for 2010. What I'm hearing at the moment is it looks like a very stable marketplace, which actually surprises me a little bit, and I'll be the first to admit that. And the cash rents seem to be getting renewed at very similar levels to what they were in 2008 and 2009.
Well, ironically, even as we have seen farmland values flatten out, what I'm hearing from the marketplace is still that cash rent has continued to increase through this fall as cash rent prices have been set. I can't imagine that will continue if we're going to see more challenges with commodity prices and profitability, as well as a softening in land values. There should be a closer correlation to that, certainly as we move down the road.
What is your view of the potential for inflation in the next 12 months?
I would say that inflation in the next 12 months is probably not real likely, not major inflation. I'd say it'll probably be 24 months before we really see whether or not we will have a lot of inflation. I sit on the Federal Reserve Board of the Federal Reserve Bank of Kansas City, our Omaha branch bank, and as you know, that's a lot of what the Federal Reserve looks at and talks about. The economists that speak to us at the board at this point through the Fed are not anticipating any inflationary pressures in 2010, not major inflationary pressures. The trick is the government, the Fed, the Treasury, they put a lot of money into the economy. The trick to it's going to be when they take it out and how they take it out. And so that's really the wild card, and I think anyone in the Fed would tell you that. If we can do that right and do it in a measured fashion, we should be able to control inflation. Is there an opportunity for inflation? I would say yes, there is. I don't think it'll be in the next 12 months, but like I say, I think in the next 24 months, that's when we'll, if we're going to see it, we'll see it at that point.
Now, there's a real question that I almost could have avoided if you would have allowed me to, but in the next 12 months, you know, I don't see any, you know, dramatic change in inflation. But as we look down the road, 5-10 years, Dave Dickey, I mean, inflation is one of the few reasonable and unfortunate alternatives to the money that's being spent by our government in America today. It's a very sad set of circumstances, but we sooner or later will inflate ourselves out of the problems that have been generated and all the money that's been dumped into the marketplace and dumped into the banking system today.
So where does the dollar go?
The dollar has gone lower, as we both know. The dollar will continue to go lower. I just returned from an almond marketing trip in Europe, and the fact that I paid 10 euros, 13 U.S. dollars, for 2 cups of coffee is beyond my comprehension. And I mean, I can't believe I did it, Dave Dickey, but I did it at 10 euros for 2 cups of coffee. I mean, that is expensive. And the dollar does not have a bright future, in my opinion.
What is your expectations for the potential for inflation over the next 12 months?
Over the next 12 months, we think it's still relatively nominal. And all the indicators you see is even though we're recovering in the general economy, that there are enough issues in terms of unemployment and even a lot of people that are working part-time jobs that are employed, and that the recovery still is going to be much slower and more protracted than maybe in the past, and so that it'll be still a fairly flat. Even if there are some increases in interest rates, it's not going to be because of inflation in the next 12 months.
So the worry then is not in the nearby window. However, 24 to 36 months out, maybe a different story?
Well, certainly it's anybody's guess when you get out at that point in time. The big question is, what's going to happen with the federal deficit? Can the Fed retract and shrink their balance sheet at a pace that's commensurate with an increase in productivity? That's a huge question. Frankly, I don't believe that there's going to be a perfect match in terms of how that's going to all work out, and that there will be, there's likely to be some inflationary pressures as we go out to that time period you're talking about.
What do you expect to happen to interest rates on debt used for farmland purchases over the next year?
I think we'll start to see some steady rise in interest rates for farmland purchases going forward. There's no doubt in meetings that I've attended over the last 12 months that the ag lenders have tightened up standards. And what they've done is they've tightened up the amount of money that they'll lend, where maybe they might have lent up to 70%. You're not going to get 70% of the value of the farm today. You might get 60, you might get 50. And they have tightened up on how your credit standards are. Are you a good credit risk or are you not? And they want to look at cash flows closer. They want to make sure you've got a viable operation. So there's plenty of money out there to buy farmland. There's not really a shortage, and there's plenty of people willing to lend, but they've tightened up the standards.
I think that, first of all, a number of major lenders have left the marketplace in the last 12 months, which is incredibly unfortunate. And I think interest rates for farm borrowing will increase. In fact, they're going to increase more than I would like them to. In 2008, there were a lot of farm mortgage debt put on long-term fixed with 4 1/2 or no more than low fives. And that is history. That's not going to happen, Dave, in the foreseeable future. And we're going to pay higher interest rates on a go-forward basis for any land debt we want to accumulate.
What else is important for producers to know and keep in mind regarding real estate next year?
Well, the number one thing to keep in mind is marketing, and obviously WILL does a phenomenal job of communicating this to their farm audience. But as I look at the successful farm operations out here, they have a good marketing plan in place that allows them to be profitable. They have a good accounting system in place. They have a good buying system in place. But first and foremost, they have a good marketing program.
Jim Farrow, President and CEO of Farmers National Company in Omaha, Nebraska. Murray Wise, Chairman and CEO of the Westchester Group in Champaign, Illinois. And Doug Stark, President and CEO of Farm Credit Services of America. It's National Bavarian Cream Pie Day. On this day in agricultural history in 1826, John Walker invented the friction match. The match head was ignited by drawing it through a fold of fine glass paper. In 1827, Horace Wyman was born. An American inventor, he held more than 260 patents relating to looms and textile machinery. In 1901, Clement Studebaker died. An American manufacturer, he founded in South Bend, Indiana, the Studebaker Brothers Manufacturing Company, what became the world's largest producer of horse-drawn vehicles. The company's motto, always give more than you promise. In 1943, Frank Lutz died. He is recognized by many as the leading U.S. entomologist for the first half of the 20th century. He taught that insects were an integral part of the environment, and he was the first curator of the American Museum of Natural History's Department of Entomology. And in 1984, Sylvan Goldman died. Goldman, an American businessman, ran a successful chain of grocery stores, and while a major owner of the Piggly Wiggly supermarket chain, he invented the shopping cart. By the way, he hired fake shoppers to wheel them around the store to encourage reluctant customers to see how useful they could be. And that's this day in agricultural history.
Agricultural information is made possible with support from ADM. ADM thanks America's farmers because everything they do starts with you.
You're listening to Illinois Public Media's Closing Market Report. This is Dave Dickey. Joining us now with a look at the agricultural weather is Steve Hilberg of the Midwestern Regional Climate Center. Good afternoon, Steve.
Good afternoon, Dave.
Is it my imagination or is it very, very, very wet across the Midwest?
Well, it's partly your imagination, Dave. I've been told you have an active one. It was very wet in October. It was one of the wettest Octobers we've had in a long time with almost 9 inches of rain. But November really has been fairly dry. If you recall, we had that 2 weeks of dry weather after the heavy rain of October, which helped harvest get going. We had a week of heavy rain last week in many areas, but the last several days have been dry, so November actually is not doing so bad as far as precipitation is concerned, and if we don't get any more the rest of the month, we'll actually rank about in the middle of the pack as far as wet November. So far, we've had a pretty unremarkable November.
So welcome after October. Does it suggest that we're trending to something drier?
Well, if you look at the extended outlooks and the fact that we're in an El Nino pattern, El Nino is developing over the Pacific, that tends to keep us drier during the winter months. But again, no two El Ninos are quite the same, and it's hard to say what this winter is going to be like. But at least for the next in the early part of December, at least, it doesn't look like we'll be exceptionally wet. We may get some precipitation, but it won't be of the heavy variety we had in October and then again in November.
Where are we on an annual basis with precipitation?
Well, we are running pretty well ahead of average in most of the state. Far southern Illinois and extreme northern Illinois are just about average. If you go out toward the Rock Island area, down toward Quincy, they're running at about 1.5 times normal for the year so far. And the rest of the state is anywhere between normal to maybe 125% of normal. So statewide, we're doing very well as far as precipitation is concerned on an annual basis.
I may want to get in on meteorologist Ed Kieser's first inch of snowfall contest. You have any hints for me? Not in November, I would imagine.
Well, actually, the first snow is typically, first inch of snow typically is in November in the northern half of Illinois. Roughly from Champaign-Urbana to the north, it's before November 30th. South of there, it can be as late as December 20th. But with the prospects for some cold air coming in here over the next week to 10 days, I would not rule out the possibility of seeing some accumulating snow somewhere in the northern half of Illinois.
You mentioned El Nino a little bit earlier. Are we under the influence this winter of this?
Yeah, it has been developing for the last several months, and it's of about moderate strength right now, and it's expected by the Climate Prediction Center to continue probably into January before it starts on a decline. It's hard to say exactly what's going to happen, but the trend would be for some slightly drier weather through the winter months.
Thank you, Steve.
Okay, Dave.
That's Steve Hilberg of the Midwestern Regional Climate Center. And with the closing market report, this is Dave Dickey.
The closing market report is made possible by AgriGold Hybrids, funding agricultural programming as an additional service to the many AgriGold customers in the AM 580 listening area. AgriGold, the corn specialists. More information is at agrigold.com or at 800-262-7333.